It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Set from Rutschman, Henderson, Kaiser, and Rutschman. Is this heaven? No, it's Baltimore.
All right, there you go. Home run call of the day. Adley Rutschman going deep. The excellent, the always excellent Kevin Brown with the home run call. What a way to start the day. By the way, speaking of ways to start the day, at BB isn't boring. Go to either the X Twitter or the Instagram right now, or right after you listen to this podcast anyway, and check out the Wasabi Challenge. Our great friends at Wasabi Technology, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, obviously walking side by side with us throughout this season. And it's a great day to yell Wasabi, which is exactly what Tristan Casas did after becoming the first Major League player to take the Wasabi Challenge. And that is answering a question about his teammate, getting it wrong, having to eat a ball of wasabi. At BB isn't boring if you want to see that hilarious video. And I do mean hilarious. I don't just say hilarious all the time. It is hilarious. We had a lot of fun doing it. And I always like watching someone get educated in the world of baseball through the great food condiment that is wasabi and the great word that is wasabi. All right, go check that out. At BB isn't boring. It is going to be a great week. It was a wild weekend. It was an absolutely wild weekend. You had injuries, Dodgers injuries, Mookie Betts, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I mean, tough stuff. It is going to be a wild ride heading into the trade deadline here. See what's going to happen. Speaking of wild rides, like we said, it was a very, very interesting weekend. One of the things that was interesting for me is I got to talk to a lot of great people, a lot of interesting people, including national champion men's basketball coach at UConn, Dan Hurley, about the great game of baseball. Before we get to the podcast, here is Dan Hurley when I asked him a little bit about how awesome baseball is and his love of baseball. All right, I heard favorite athletic player of all time.
Yeah, George Brett all the way. Pine Tar game all the way. I coached like he ran out of that dugout.
Is that why?
That was, I think, being from Jersey City, it's a tough, intense place. Yeah, it drew me in.
All right, and so what is your history of baseball?
Played Little League, all the way up through probably seventh grade. It was, lefty, gap hitter, hit for average and a good glove guy, but I couldn't pitch. I got lit up the one time I pitched and never went back on the mound, but always just loved baseball.
All right, last thing. Why isn't baseball boring?
Baseball's not boring because I think the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball, especially nowadays. How hard these guys throw and the way the ball moves, hardest thing to do in sports.
Are you going to find a better answer than that? Are you going to find a better quote than that? George Brett, I coached like he ran out of the dugout in the Pine Tar game. Awesome! Awesome. All right, speaking of awesome, the always awesome Buster Olney's joining us for today's podcast, and it's always, always awesome conversation, not only any time with Buster, but particularly when we're leading into the trade deadline. Yes, it is officially trade deadline season. It is. So, Let's get into it. Let's dive into it. Let's talk about what teams are buying, what teams are selling, how teams are approaching things, the mindset of teams. All of that. Remember, rate, review, subscribe. We appreciate everybody. Had a ton of people leaving nice reviews. Really, really appreciate all of the kind words and the listenership and the follows and the subscriptions. All of it. We appreciate it. We're gonna keep trying to pay you back all week long. It's going to be a great week. I'm going to be hitting the road. More details on that coming up. But right now, it's Buster Olney. All right, there's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Buster Olney. Fact. And also,
you're full of crap.
No, it's
but
not.
Go ahead.
It's
thank you.
It's true. And also, because we've just been talking for a good, like, whatever. Because, you know, there's a lot to talk about. And it's trade deadline season. It's officially trade deadline season, Buster. Isn't it?
It is. You know, the other day, J.J. Piccolo, the general manager, executive vice president of the Royals, on. And I said, look, there's no question. We in the media jumped the gun on the trade deadline. Like, we're talking about possible trade candidates in late February. And I asked JJ, whose team is right in the mix of the American League, when did you guys start talking about the deadline, if you have at all? He said about 3 weeks ago was his response. And I think that's right, because if you're a general manager, you don't want to preemptively call a rival and say, hey, your season's going bad. You're going to be sellers? So you wait until you get a representative amount of time in, and then you start to have those conversations.
Well, and also the obvious thing in baseball now, everyone's .500 too. So
right.
It's like it's the teams who are definitively out of it. Congratulations, White Sox, Colorado,
right.
Miami. You know, these teams, they can say, hey, listen. Sure, we're willing to listen, but it's going to cost you a lot.
Luis Arraez.
Oh, right.
That being a great example of it, yeah. And if you want to make a trade, you can make a trade right now, but it's going to be sticker price plus 10%, which is what the Padres paid to plug a hole in their lineup and trading for Luis Arraez while getting the Marlins to pay all of his salary.
Yeah. I always have the go-to early season trades. I mean, Arraez was crazy early. We just don't see that too much. But I love the proactive move. And really, the Rangers did it last year, right?
Yeah.
They gave up a lot of Cole Reagans.
Well, they didn't know they gave up.
No, believe
you
me.
Know, his generation's Ron Guidry.
Yeah.
You know?
When I saw that trade, I was like, I was looking at the guy's Reagans numbers. And we're talking about the Rawls Chapman for Cole Reagans. But yeah, Reagans turned out to be a lot better than I think a lot of people thought. But the idea was we're going to be proactive about this.
Right.
Do you remember?
The most notable one for me was in the mid to late June 2000 season. The Yankees have won the 98 World Series. They won the 99 World Series. The offense in 2000 is stagnant. That group, the Dynasty Yankees, are getting old. And Brian Cashman shocked everybody by making a big trade for David Justice. And that turned out to be difference-making that year for them, you know, eventually winning the World Series. That was aggressive. I think if you make a deal in June, what was it, the Brewers deal for CC Sabathia was like in late June.
Yeah.
And that's the conversation you have with executives this time of year, where they understand, yeah, you can wait until the trade deadline, but if you wait too long, you might get caught up in the wash of a lot of, you know, for example, the Mets, if they wound up being sellers, they got like 10, 11 guys.
Yeah.
You're going to wait in line, and what happens if the Mets can't execute business quickly enough for you?
And I'll give you another one, you know, the place we're sitting right now, Fenway, like the Steve Pierce trade, that was late June, and it's also reading, you know, I'm a big guy, like reading the room guy, whether it's early or whether it's right at the deadline, reading the room is such a huge part of this. Pierce, they took off after getting Pierce, and that was a minor right-handed bat, ended up being the World Series MVP, but for GMs to read the room, it's huge, right?
The best example of that in recent years, without a doubt, was 2021. Atlanta Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr. goes down in the outfield, Miami, blows out a knee. They're playing .500. I mean, literally, I think they had a .500 record at the end of play that day. And within 72 hours, Alex Anthopoulos, who you know is viewed as one of the premier executives in baseball now, made a trade first for Jock Peterson and then Stephen Vogt. And I remember calling him after that and say, what was you thinking? He goes, you know what? I had to send a signal to the room that we are not out of this thing. We're in this thing. And he goes on and he acquires Eddie Rosario and Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler. Soler's the MVP of the World Series. The Braves win. They were at 500, but I think Alex really believed that he had an obligation to run out the ground ball, and to indicate to his players, look, we are still trying. We still think this is possible, and they were rewarded in a big way.
That's a great example. And, you know, so you talk about running out the ground ball and saying, we're going to put our best foot forward. Last year, this is how baseball is. I mean, this is one of the things where every time you say, well, it's not, why do you bother? Why you bother is out the window.
Because especially after last year.
Well, that's what I mean. The Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean,
84 wins in the regular season. 84
wins. And I just said, you know, like Mike Hazen, I love when he said this. He's like, I made a vow to myself in spring training that if we're even close, I was going to go for it. The other example, Buster, I've worn out and I love using, is Dayton Moore telling me about the meeting that they had with Chris Young before the deadline in a room in San Diego, I think it was, where Chris Young looked around the room and said, guys, do we believe that we can win the World Series? Because if we do, these names and all these prospects, well, they're gone because we're going to go for it. And I love that mentality. I'm like, let's go, right?
And I think that in a lot of cases now, I mean, Chris Young is not an old person, but he's part of the old school, and he was a player. And he has that mentality that you are going to keep trying because you can't, on one hand, expect player. You know, you don't have players waking up every day and looking at Fangraphs and saying, 13% chance to make the playoffs.
No.
Doesn't look good.
No.
They're going to believe in themselves. And you have to make a decision, and you can't be reckless. But at the same time, I do think there's not only an obligation to, to the fan base, but also to the players to do that. So one of the more famous examples that I've seen, 96, when I was covering the Orioles, Pat Gillick, Hall of Fame general manager, arranged trades of David Wells and Bobby Bonilla. He's going to blow up the Orioles, okay? He's going to start turning it over because they had kind of stunk to that point. And Peter Angelos, who made a lot of bad decisions as an owner, said, you know what? I've sold tickets for the rest of this year to Camden Yards. I am not going to just basically say we're not good enough. That team, not only did they not trade those guys, but they added Pete Incaviglia and other players, and they wound up making the playoffs. They wound up playing in the American League Championship Series. You just don't know unless you quit.
I know.
And I've seen examples. You've seen examples in the last decade where teams have quit.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's professional sports. You got a bunch of athletes down there. The message you're sending, to your point, is important.
And also, you have the most recent results to hang your hat on. This is more than ever. I mean, by the way, like
the Phillies, scraped in 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They play in the World Series against the Astros.
And the way this is going, in the division winners with all the time off, they're the ones that aren't advancing.
Yeah.
And so you have these teams like the Diamondbacks, you like the Rangers who are scraping in, and then boom, they take off. So if you can get it, it's a cliche, Buster, but it's literally if you can get in, anything can happen.
Right, especially in baseball.
Yeah.
Especially guys get hot. Pitchers, the injuries can manifest. You know, and you and I were talking before we started about the Red Sox situation. I think if you're, two or three games out, if you're hanging around the edge of the wild card, then you got to go for it. And for a couple reasons. One, what we're talking about, the signal in the room. But I also think it's important this year for Craig Breslow, first year running the front office, he can't follow the same path that Heim Bloom did. Mm. Sort of in and sort of out. Can't do that.
It didn't work.
Right. A, it didn't work. Yeah. And B, I think it always, for a fan base that's, has been increasingly disaffected, it was a signal to them that they didn't like. They wanted the team to go for it. And so if you're kind of hanging around the edge and you blow it up and you trade some veterans and you don't add, that to me is not a great way to effectively introduce the fan base to Craig Breslow as an executive. I think that it's bigger than simply what the odds are on Fangraphs in terms of their decision.
So tell me, you mentioned the Red Sox, we talk about running out the ground ball. So there's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that sort of are in that situation, in that position. Some of them, you mentioned the Royals. The Royals, I don't, as we sit here right now, I don't think there's any question. Like, you have to, if you're the Royals, you have to. But there are some teams that are sort of, you can, they in some years, they're like, well, it's not worth it. Give me some teams you would love to see put the pedal to the metal that maybe are sort of in the fringy.
Well, the two teams that are playing right now under World Series or bust circumstances are the Yankees and the Phillies. Mm-hmm. I think the Yankees are going to be aggressive. And I can't tell you how that'll manifest, but if we get to the All-Star break and Anthony Rizzo has struggled big time, that is a place you might see a move. If Gleyber Torres is not playing better at second base, to me, that potentially is a place that you could see a big move. The Phillies, there's no, you know Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah.
There's no chance he doesn't add a primo reliever, Mason Miller, right?
Yeah.
Somebody like that, to give one more arm for that bullpen, because that team has a ton of regret coming off last year's World Series. The Dodgers, Andrew Freeman always gets players
always,
at the deadline.
And or at least tries. I mean, we got to stop forgetting Eduardo
Rodriguez. He always
Rodriguez
gets.
Last year.
Manny Machado, you know, Yu Darvish, on down the line. He always gets some of the best players, and they have a clear need in the bottom half of their lineup right now. And whether that's solved internally or externally, they're going to do something. I think the Royals will take a shot. I think the Guardians, if they, when we get close to the deadline, they're going to identify some things. I know the Braves, you know, they're kind of holding your ammunition back and seeing what exactly their biggest need going forward. Maybe it's an outfielder because of Acuna's injury, but there are going to be teams that are going for it. And look, when I talk about the Red Sox on their decision, I'm not advocating like a reckless trade your best prospects and overpay
you don't have to
for
trade
guys.
Your best prospects.
Take on a little money.
Right.
That to me, because that. Yeah, I wrote a piece the other day about how, you know, talking with executives around baseball, their feeling is, look, there are very few teams coming off this really slow free agent winter that have available cash. And so if you're a team that has money, you can make deals.
Yeah.
Like if you call, you know, the Mets, and I'm just pulling their name out of a hat, you might call them and say, look, we're not going to give you an A prospect for Harrison Bader or Luis Severino, but we'll take a salary on and we'll give you a B-minus prospect. And that might be good enough for a player like that, which means you don't have to cut into your farm system. But at the same time, you're signaling to your fan base, look, we're trying. Mm. You're signaling your players, we're trying. We're going to get better without cutting into what you perceive to be your best parts of your future.
Can I'll give you another one, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right, the Padres.
Well, yeah, and I'm curious because, you know, there's a perception within the sport that A.J. Preller is essentially working for his job.
Yeah.
And he's always aggressive. He and Jerry DePoto are the Mariners. To me, the Mariners are a team that absolutely has every reason to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Right? They have an excellent pitching staff. They clearly had a need in offense. If we're sitting here today, I would bet Pete Alonso is going to wind up with the Cubs or the Mariners.
Ooh. All right.
So, because both those teams could use that sort of, there's not a lot of difference making power available, but you can put Pete Alonso number six in anybody's lineup, and it's going to help.
And the Mariners, you know, they're talking about a team that can make a run based on what's most important. Bless you.
Thank
the,
you.
The most important, which is starting pitching.
Right.
Like that's just, spoiler alert, if you get that starting pitching, you get in the playoffs, and then you get a little more offense. And by the way, that right now, as we sit here, it's not like you're like, oh, well, the Astros are going to over. No.
I know.
The Mariners are the best team in the division.
They're playing well. I'll give you another team that's interesting to me in terms of being difference-making at the trade deadline. The Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of hanging around the edge, but you tell me a team that would want to go into a short series in October against Paul Skenes, Jared Jones, and Keller.
Yeah.
I mean, that rotation, if they just upgrade their offense a little bit, man, and they were to scrape their way into the playoffs, they would be the team no one would want to face.
What is there a player, and this is the last thing, is there a player that you mentioned Mason Miller, right? That and you mentioned Alonso.
Yeah.
That is going to catch like a lot of heat in the obviously we always default immediately to potential free agents.
But it's a hard one because, well, again, we're not identifying. There's a ton of teams that are selling. Well, the Rockies, the Marlins, like
the Rockies never sell. We never know what the Rockies are doing. They're very strange.
So it's the do the A's want to do that? Maybe for the right haul. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. See that to me. I mean, it's not to answer your question. I think it's more about a position than a player. If you get a relief pitcher who's throwing well, right, and he's potentially dominant, there's no time of year you're going to get more value than right before the trade deadline, because that guy could be difference making. Andrew Miller, you know, joining the Cleveland Guardians in 2016, and you're going to get the best possible return. If you're Oakland, and no one thinks Oakland's going to win the next few years, and Mason Miller has this injury history, and you think there's a chance he's going to break down, move him. And that's a lot of the feedback I'm getting is, look, if you have a really hot reliever who's throwing well, you know, like, Schreiber.
Oh,
what if Schreiber had been moved earlier in his tenure?
Yep.
Like, he's throwing well. If you don't believe that he's going to be part of your team in 2 years, go.
Yep.
Take advantage of it.
Yep. Well, I appreciate it. Don't be fired up. Let's go. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.